Three Peeps in a Podcast. So we've got Matt on the phone. Matt, you travelled up to Leeds yesterday and I was able to watch the game. So first of all, you got there without getting blown away?
Yeah, coach four, plenty to sort of make the trip up. And yeah, to be fair, obviously was pretty windy and rainy, but didn't really notice too much, and arrived at Elland Road and it wasn't too bad. Yeah. You know, a little bit of a few puddles on the ground, but yeah, all in all, it was okay. Although once the game started, you could see it sort of swirling around. I think it gradually got worse as the afternoon went on. But yeah, thankfully got there all safe and sound, mate.
Yeah, I was watching the linesman flag and the corner flag and stuff, and it seemed to be blown in all sorts of directions. So you had the extra man or not.
Yeah, it was. You know, with the goalies from both ends sort of kicking it out, it was either going too long from our sort of where we were kicking from in the first half. You know, a number of times Dan Bentley kicked the ball sort of right through the other end after sort of one of the bounces. Then the second half, he was finding it was sort of holding up and not reaching the halfway line. So difficult to play in those sort of conditions, it is.
Cool. Yeah, we spoke about the team selection the last show we did.
So blown out of the water, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, when it came through, I was a little bit shocked. I mean, I understand that Fanny was ill.
Yeah.
That was obviously a bit of a fly in the ointment. Surely he would have started. But what did you make of the team he went with?
Well, I'll be honest, I was in the concourse underneath having a drink and chatting to a number of sort of City fans that I knew there. And when the team sort of came out, it was utter disbelief. Obviously, for Mara, primarily, I think everybody felt there was a chance with Corey that he may not make it following sort of being withdrawn against Derby. So for Mara was a surprise. Benkovic was a surprise and Thomas Callas coming in and Jack Hunt dropping out. I guess it was a choice of Han Noah. I don't know how fit Adam Nagy is. But Adam Nagy or Tommy Rowan, and obviously he went with Han Noah. But subsequently, listening to Lee's comments after the game, Famara had seemingly had sort of flu and sickness almost since Wednesday's game. I think he was sick after Wednesday's game. Didn't even warm up before the game, and Lee Johnson said again on the radio before the game that Famara wasn't well enough to warm up. And with Andy Wyman, apparently he was sick on Friday evening at the team hotel, and then the game on Saturday morning. And that was the one that surprised me, really. I think Famara was probably worth the gamble, you know, with maybe 20, 30 minutes to go bringing him on. But Andy Wyman was clear from the first whistle, just had no energy at all, no legs, which is what his game's all about. So I think they got that one wrong.
Yeah, and for me, with Masengo, he just seemed so lightweight in the game, and he seemed so lightweight over the past sort of few games that I've seen him play. For me, I would have gone for Tommy Rowe instead of Masengo.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I agree first half, and I think from Lee's comments after the game, I think probably Han Noah was one of the players he was citing as hiding and not doing enough. I think the other one was Nick Eliasson again. But for I actually thought Han Noah in the second half actually came on and did quite well. I was quite surprised seeing a couple of reports where they talked about how well Henriksen had played, and I thought he was actually fairly anonymous, if I'm honest.
I thought at least Han quite a bit as well.
Yeah, he did. At least I thought Han Noah. Yeah, exactly that. And I thought Han Noah was trying to get on the ball in the second half, was trying to kind of drive forward. But you know, I think we talked about it after the Derby game. You know, he's going to come up against Phillips for Leeds, who's probably the best in the division, is that sort of central midfielder. And yeah, first half, he got found wanting. Great experience for him, but I was surprised that Lee didn't change it earlier. I mean, he didn't change it at all in terms of the midfield too, but I thought Tommy Rowe probably would have come on at home because of just the way that, I mean, we got battered the first half. I don't know how it came across on the TV in the stream, but Leeds' movement all over the pitch, in particular on the right-hand side with Luke Haylin, Helga Costa and Pablo Hernandez, they gave Jada Silva and Nathan Baker absolute problems all afternoon. And it makes you realise with Aylin, you know, what we've missed, really. We've never replaced him. And yeah, I thought he was excellent.
No, it was a strange one when he left and for such little money as well.
Yeah.
Might have been partly due to his involvement in the Cheltenham event.
Seems to have been, doesn't it? That seems to have been the the inside kind of track on it. But there's the other players that were there and sort of stayed at the club. Like you said, Patrick, I don't think it's a case where we sold a player because it was a good deal for the club and everything else. I think, you know, we got decent money for him, but I think he's probably the best right back, certainly attacking right back in the division. And we've struggled since he's gone to get anywhere near replacing him. And I think, again, on the weekend, on Saturday, he was a one of a number of standout performers for Leeds. And it was no real surprise that he scored. I was disappointed with his reaction. I thought I'm not one of those that thinks you shouldn't celebrate. You know, you do a job for your new team, absolutely celebrate. But the way that he kind of clutched the badge and ran down past the City fans, I thought was a little bit disrespectful, if I'm honest with you. Although I think some of that goes back to him and Lee Johnson probably not having the greatest of working relationships. I think that was his mate saying is one to you, ex-gaffer, as opposed to the City fans. But credit to him, I thought he was excellent.
No, he was. And yeah, one of those players that you could always guarantee was an 8 out of 10 when he played for us.
Exactly.
But for the first, just you mentioned Jay De Silva back. You mentioned Jay De Silva, and I thought the first half he got a bit overawed really with it all, really.
Oh, he did.
He did come back into it second half.
I think the thing for me, Patrick, obviously it was on our side of the field that first half. Yes, he did get he was overrun and you know the ball kept getting played. And the bit for me with Leeds that they were just excellent at was just that little 5-10 yard ball that they play kind of in behind De Silva or in between De Silva and Baker, and they always then had a runner who was the other side of them to then, you know, get to the byline and sort of put the cross across. I think part of the thing with De Silva was that he got no protection from the forwards on the left-hand side. So Andy Wyman, and obviously we understand now why with Andy Wyman, and again, I'll go back and say that it was a poor decision to play him. But Andy Wyman and Jamie Patterson basically just didn't track runners, and it happened time and time again. And it looked like De Silva was the one who was completely exposed, but you know a lot of that was just because runners were coming from, you know, Aylin should have been being picked up by the wide man, and then with Aylin free, he could pick off a pass, and you know it looked like it was on De Silva. And unfortunately, as I say, I think the sort of left hand side didn't give him the protection he needed really.
Mm.
But he was second half he was almost attacking.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously the goal was, it was a bit like the Alamo first half, and the goal was blocked several times, and then they eventually took their chance through Luke Aylin. And coming in at half time, I think 1-0 was a blessing, really. We were still in the game. Second half came into it a bit more. And had a few chances. I think it's got to be the game where we had the least chance as we've had in a game in a long while. So, it was one of those ones where I was thinking Leeds are 1-0 up here. They're going for a second goal. If the shoe was on the other foot and it was down at Ashton Gate and we were 1-0 up, we would be under a pressure. I mean, that's the big difference between the two clubs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean they've got some. I was going to say they've got some quality players all over the pitch, which they have. But then, you know, to be fair, so have we. I think there's no doubt their crowd and the way that they are, and it's a fabulous atmosphere. You know, listening to singing, you know, marching on together. You know, it really is a stadium and fan base that deserves to be in the Premiership. But I think you're right. We were 1-0 at half time, and that just was get out of jail free really, because Bamford had one that was ruled out, and it was offside. But to be fair, I think had the shot not been deflected by Bentley onto the bar, I think it had gone underneath the bar, it probably would. And they had numerous chances. It was like the Alamo. Bentley pulled off another great save from Costa. Numerous blocks from Williams and Baker in particular. I thought, again, the Kalas decision, yes, I know he's played right back for Middlesbrough, I think, when he was on loan there, and probably even at Chelsea and some other loans that he's had. But for me, why you play a centre-half who that's his best position as a right-back when you've got an option of a right-back in either Hunt or Pereira, I felt was, again, a strange move. I didn't see that as a tactically good move. I think, if anything, it kind of...
says a lot about...
defensively... Well, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right, Patch. I think it sends a message to them to say, you know, you're the kind of players I've got in that position, and yet I'm picking a centre-half to play there. And had it been, I don't know, if you'd have been playing against a wide man of the likes of, his name's escaping me now, Traore at Wolves, you know, a big, bustling wide man, you might kind of understand having the physicality of Kalas there, but I think what it did do is it meant that we had nothing then helping Nick Eliasson on the right hand side. And as I said, I think Nick's been pretty poor from an attacking point of view. Yes, he still gets his crosses in and he still contributes in terms of creating that chance. But I think he was quite poor in terms of both covering and going forward. But he had nothing behind him. You know, Kalas isn't that sort of player that would get out behind him. So yeah, it was a surprise. But yeah, like you said, Patrick, at 1-0 halftime, I think Johnson did again, by his own admission, tore him off a sort of shred. I think he was quite vocal by all accounts at halftime, and rightly so. And the second half was an improvement. I mean, I laughed a little bit on the coach on the way back. A couple of people sort of saying we were the better side in the second half. We absolutely weren't. We were in the game, but Leeds had 4-5 really, really good opportunities. We had one with Naki Wells' sort of break and first-time shot. You know, yes, we were more competitive. We made it more difficult for Leeds, but we were never the better side at any point within the game, I don't think.
I think that that Naki Wells chance, I mean, had that have been his second chance, I think he would have buried it. He just was just so excited to have the ball and be in it on goal. But he just took it a little bit too wide, and then obviously hooked it just wide. But yeah, that was our only real goal scoring opportunity for the whole game, and that says a lot. And I think that was Johnson's game plan all along, was to keep it at 1-0, 0-0, and then just try and nip one on the break. And that's probably where he was coming with the Kalas at right back, and just trying to keep it as stern as possible. Like with the game on the last game. He was basically admitted that he wanted as many attacking players on the pitch as he could. And obviously with the Leeds game, he's saying that he wants as many strong-minded defensive players on the pitch at the same time as he could with Kalas.
Yeah, and I think you could see that. I mean, the ironic thing with that is that I think we defended better against Darwin than we did against Leeds. I think in terms of clear-cut opportunities that Leeds had, if we'd been sat here talking now about a 5-0 loss, that still probably wouldn't have been justice. You know, I think Leeds were very much that much better than us. So, for me, there's always the thing around, do you play your best attacking side and go for it? I think when you come up against the likes of Leeds away, you know, and I was surprised to learn that I think we've only won 6 times in the league there in our history, and the last time was in 1979. And funny how some of those sort of hoodoos go. So I wasn't surprised he went defensive. I just felt he probably could have still gone defensive, but with, again, players in their right position. Benkovic was because of a calf strain. But again, you kind of question, well, again, why was he on the bench? You know, it's that old thing for me. If you're on the bench, then, you know, you should be fit enough to start. And I suppose they could turn around and say, well, you might have got 20 minutes out of him. And that's why they did it. But... I'm not blaming Lee. I don't think tactically he got it wrong going defensively. I think he was let down by a few players, just not performing to the levels that they should have done. And we came up against a Lee side that were unusually really for where they'd been in their run, but they were high on confidence. Quality all over the pitch.
Yeah, last 10, 15 minutes, the City players did look dead on their feet. They had nothing left to give. Like, even in the last few minutes when they had a few chances to have a little break, they just didn't seem to have the energy, whether it was playing Wednesday night versus, you know, Saturday. But they're professional footballers. They should have the energy to last two lots of 90 minutes in 4 days. So I don't think we can say much about that. But, you know, Lee dwelled on the Luke Aylin, which was definitely a handball in the box and should have been a penalty. But when you get those sort of 50-50, 60-40 decisions at an away match, you're rarely going to get them.
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely apoplectic with the penalty decision. And again, right in front of us, 100% penalty. I've seen that you've screenshotted it or whatever on Twitter or reposted it on Twitter you can see that it hits his arm. But even in real time patch, I mean, you know, I actually thought he'd saved the bloody thing, let alone, you know, it sort of struck his arm and it's right in front of the assistant. And, you know, Lee's absolutely right. There are games where you can get an absolute battering, have a breakaway and you can win them 1-0. Now, had we scored, and there's no guarantee we'd have scored the pen, but had we scored the pen, 1-1 with, I don't know what it was, 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, the crowd probably gets on Leeds back and then, you know, that Naki Wells chance comes along and you don't know. But I'm also one of those that I do think those sort of things even out. You know, Wednesday night, Derby fans were saying that the Ashley Williams, you know, challenge was a penalty. Didn't think that it was, if I'm honest with you. But, you know, they all felt that it was. Various news sports outlets thought that it was. So I think they do go for you. And, you know, Lee said himself, it's not an excuse. You know, it may have had an impact and changed the game at that point. But... you know, we got lucky to get away with 1-0. And we were even, you know, a number of fans were saying that at half-time, that if it stayed 1-0, it wouldn't be the worst result in the world if other results went for us, because at least it meant that the goal difference didn't get, you know, too much worse.
Absolutely. And it seems to have been the case. We didn't get a battering. It's only 1-0. Results mostly went away. We're still 3 points off the third. So going into... West Brom game, which I'm sure is going to be an easy walk in the park. we'll just think back to the tick game last season when we went 3-0 up, and hopefully we can replicate something like that. But where do you see the team selection going into the game on Saturday? Assuming everyone's fit and family's feeling better, do you start with the same team you played against Derby, or?
I think you probably do. Again, you know, I think like you said, it will depend on the injuries. I'd like to think within a week that, you know, if it is flu and sickness, that will be all resolved and they'll be better from that point of view. But then you also wonder, you know, it is the sort of thing that can sweep through the camp, so or any other player's going to come down with it. But all things being equal, I think it would be the same lineup with Corey and Henriksen in the middle. And then Naki and Thamara up front and probably I would absolutely go back to Jack Hunt and Williams and Benkovic if fit, irrespective of A, how well Baker's played, and B, the fact that Kallas is now back, and obviously Jay on the left hand side. The one for me, you know, I keep saying it about Nicolaisen and I love him and he would be one of the first names on the sheet for me, but at the moment, and I don't know if it's because of the talk about his contract, he's changed agents, his performances the last couple of games just haven't been at the level that he was performing at, and I'd like to think that, you know, he's like you were saying about Han Noah, he needs to get that physicality to be at the very top and be consistent. You know, he needs to get the physicality into his game a little bit more. He's very easy to sort of push off the ball, but he also needs to be more consistent. You know, it's not just about, you know, the deliveries that he puts in. He's got to be more consistent in terms of his work rate and showing for the ball. A couple of times yesterday, again, I felt that he ran straight lines and didn't give the midfield an option to pass the ball out to him. But that's being hypercritical, if I'm honest with you, because I do really like him. I think he would absolutely start for me. So, yeah, and I think West Brom, in many ways, is probably an easier game than Leeds, although I know they're top, but I think Leeds, Elland Road and... Bielsa seems to have a bit of a hoodoo on Lee Johnson tactically as well. I think out of the two, it's probably West Brom I felt we might get something out of as opposed to Leeds one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's definitely the easier game of the two, if that does exist. But it is one of those ones. And I think some of the players definitely need to eat a few steaks and put a bit of muscle on. Like, you know, we're talking about Elias and Masengo, definitely. Obviously, he's really young. But imagine if he had a bit of weight on him and a bit of muscle, I think he will be a Premier League player one day and he will grow into that. But it's looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it on Saturday. I think we go back, just get the derby mindset, the win in our heads, and I think there's every chance we can pull off what will probably be a shock home win.
It would be at the moment, especially, you know, I know West Brom got pegged back yesterday, but they are top. They are playing some really good football. They've got some excellent players. They've got Callum Robinson, who I think we had on loan when either Steve Cotter or maybe when Pembo was in charge.
Very briefly.
And did nothing. But subsequently, he's then, you know, was a constant menace whenever we played Preston, I think, always scored against us. And then obviously went to Sheffield United, hasn't really been given an opportunity in the Prem, or hasn't certainly seized it, and is now gone to West Brom and by all accounts playing very, very well. So it will be a tough game. But, you know, if we want to be where we want to be, you know, we've got to perform like we believe in it. And yesterday we didn't, you know, right from the outset, in difficult conditions, at a difficult ground, you know,